All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton, and we are here to dig deeper once again into the book of Revelation. Looking at my notes, this is the 36th episode we have done on Revelation, and we are only getting into chapter 9. But keeping up with the tally of references in our studies, through 8 chapters, we have referenced 58 of the 65 other canonical books in the Bible. We have also referenced 15 extra biblical services. So we are 8 chapters in, and we only have 10 books of Holy Scripture not referenced so far in our program. As I have said, every book of the Bible is referenced either obliquely or through an allusion in the book of Revelation. So we are getting very close to that. But this week we are looking at verses 1 through 6 of chapter 9. And this is the beginning of the fifth trumpet. So let's look at the text. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not to kill them, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. All right, there's our text this week, and it has a lot to do with it, especially as we get into this first verse and the fifth angel and the star falling from heaven, because that has all kinds of implications for the interpretation of things. All right, the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from earth, from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. Dr. Brighton says in his commentary, the star, as a stand-in for the one who has the key of the abyss and who is a ruler, has a personal name, and is identified as the angel of the abyss. The identity of this star is unmistakable, for it is the same personality that is embodied by the dragon in 12:3 and who is identified as the devil and Satan in 12:9. The Reformation Heritage Bible Commentary says, this star is not a natural calamity, nor an image of war, but Satan. For this star has the key to the abyss, which he unlocks to loose upon earth an otherworldly plague. This is very similar to Ezekiel 28, beginning in verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, raise a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, emerald, and carbuncle, and crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were an anointed guardian cherub. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire you walked. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. In the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence in your midst, and you sinned. So I cast you as a profane thing from the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O guardian cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I exposed you before kings to feast their eyes on you. By the multitude of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. So I brought fire out from your midst. It consumed you, and I turned you to ashes on the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who know you among the peoples were appalled at you. You have come to a dreadful end and shall be no more forever. So we have Ezekiel talking about Tyre being this way, truly being the embodiment of Satan. Now we go on into Luke chapter 10, verse 17. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is exactly what John is talking about in this fifth trumpet, is that we have the scorpions being sent out, well, the locust with the power of scorpions being sent out by the devil himself to torment everybody who does not have the mark of God, everybody whose name is not written in heaven. That is what we rejoice about as Christians, is not that we have and may have some of these superpowers that the apostles had and being able to do miracles and things like that, but that our names are written in heaven. Jewish tradition sometimes depicts the fallen angels as fallen stars. Judges 5:20, from heaven the stars fought, from their courses they fought against Sisera. Isaiah 14, your pomp is brought down to Sheol, the sound of your harps, maggots are laid as a bed beneath you, and worms are your covers. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. Above the stars of God, I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you were brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. And then 1 Enoch chapter 86. And again I saw with my eyes as I slept, and I saw the heaven above, and behold, a star fell from heaven, and it rose and ate and pastured among those oxen. And after that I saw the large and the black oxen, and behold, they all changed their stalls and pastures and their cattle, and began to live with each other. And again I saw in the vision, and looked toward the heaven, and behold, I saw many stars descend and cast themselves down from heaven to that first star. And they became bulls amongst those cattle, and pastured with them amongst them. And I looked at them and saw, and behold, they all let out their privy members like horses, and began to cover the cows of the oxen. And they all became pregnant and bare elephants, camels, and asses. And all the oxen feared them and were affrighted at them, and began to bite with their teeth and to devour and to gore with their horns. And they began moreover to devour these oxen. And behold, all the children of the earth began to tremble and quake before them and to flee from them. And in 1 Enoch 88, and I saw one of those four who had come forth first, and he seized that first star which had fallen from the heaven, and bound it hand and foot, and cast it into the abyss. Now that abyss was narrow and deep and horrible and dark. So here in, especially 1 Enoch 86, we have a vision to Enoch very much similar to the fifth trumpet, that the cattle that had become cattle from being angels now begetting more and more, very much like the beginning of Genesis chapter 6, as we talk about the sons of God coming down and marrying the daughters of men and creating the great men of the earth. Very much the idea of the demons coming down and impregnating women and making giants. Very similar to most of the mythological stories that we have of the demigods, and especially Greek and Roman and Norse mythology. But we have him going on in that one, that the star, that first star that fell, was cast into the abyss, that he was actually tossed into hell itself. And that is where we pick up with Dr. Brighton. In Revelation, the word for hell, the place of the demons and the unrighteous, is abyssus. John will use the graphic description, the lake of fire, when he wishes to emphasize the judgment of punishment in hell, in chapter 19, verse 20, and chapter 20, verse 14. He also calls the lake of fire Hathanatos Hadeturos, in chapter 20, verse 14, the second death. He does not use Hades, the common word for hell in the New Testament, to depict this place of torment. Instead, he uses Hades in the sense of the grave, which all the dead enter. Chapter 1, verse 18, chapter 6, verse 8, and chapter 20, verses 13 and 14. Elsewhere in the New Testament, abyssus appears only twice. In Luke 8:31, it is used for hell in connection with the legion of demons Jesus cast out of a man. And Romans 10:7, it is used with nekros, from which Christ rose. In looking at the key that this angel has for the abyss, the Reformation Heritage Bible Commentary says, the key would symbolize his authority to unloose those who had been previously limited or confined in their activity. The bottomless pit is a realm forsaken by God, the realm of the demons previously preferred referred to as Hades, chapter 6, verse 8. Since a key was given to Satan, John in this way emphasizes that Satan can do nothing apart from the permissive will of God. Early commentaries, especially Tychonius, Primasius, and Ecumenius, relate these demons to heretics and false teachers in the church, following or focusing on Song of Solomon 1:5-6 as their proof text. I am very dark, but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not gaze at me because I am dark, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. And then, well, we get to Dr. McGee and the dispensationalist. What do they have to say about this fifth trumpet? Well, we believe that this star is Satan. Some have identified the star as Antichrist. If this is so, it lends support to the view that Antichrist is Satan incarnate. But I do not accept that. My point is the Antichrist is exactly that. He is everything Christ is not, and he is motivated by Satan. The reasons for interpreting the star as Satan are abundant. The prophet Isaiah writes, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Isaiah 14:12, as we read earlier. If we have established the fact that the star is Satan being cast out of heaven, then what does he do? He goes down and takes the key to the abyss, which apparently means that God is permitting him to do so. A key denotes authority and power, and this is given to him of God. It is the permissive will of God. During the last part of the Great Tribulation period, the key to the abyss is given to Satan, and he is given a freedom that he has never had before. I believe this explains why men cannot die during this period. Satan wants to keep them alive. He does not want his army decimated at all. Taking Dr. McGee's point here as, yes, they do not die. And we'll get to that in a little bit as well. But the only people who are affected by the locust coming out of the bottomless pit, coming out of the abyss, are the devil's people. They are the ones who are not marked by God in Revelation chapter 7. So, of course, Satan is not going to kill them because they're his followers. If he's going to raise up this army for Armageddon towards the end of Revelation, he actually needs them to still be alive. All right, we move on to verse 2. He opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. The Reformation Heritage Commentary says, the image of smoke may evoke the description of the smoldering remains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and thus symbolizes God's wrath against evil. The bottomless pit, hell, is a place of utter devastation. So let's take a look at Sodom and Gomorrah for a minute. Genesis 19, verses 23 to 28. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. So this is exactly what God wants to point us to. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah being a picture of the destruction that is there in the bottomless pit of hell. But the smoke is not the only thing, as we see in verse 3. From the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions on the earth. Primasius says, the locusts signify those who come forth from the smoke. For like smoke, the heretics desire to rise high. Since their teachings, they strive for positions of eminence. Yet again, like smoke, they are dissipated. We read of the smoke, for in the person of those who are evil, it is said, smoke is the breath in our nostrils, and reason is the sparks for moving our heart. Wisdom of Solomon 2:2. When the impious are said to strive by sin against wisdom, that is, against the Lord Jesus Christ, they are also described as fighting against his church, harming it by their malicious mouth, while they are hindered from harming the green grass in the trees. Jesus says this in Matthew 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, the elect. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 13. The people did not turn to him who struck them, nor inquire of the Lord of hosts. So the Lord cut off from Israel head and tail, palm branch and reed in one day. The elder and honored man is the head, and the prophet who teaches lies is the tail. For those who guide this people have been leading them astray, and those who are guided by them are swallowed up. Therefore the Lord does not rejoice over their young men, and has no compassion on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is godless and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this, his anger has not turned away, and his hand is stretched out still. So this is Primazius looking at the locust being heretics in the church. Again, trying to bring about an allegorical interpretation of the book of Revelation in these early centuries. All right, verse 4. They were told, the locusts were told, not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. For this, we look to the prophet Joel. In chapter 1, he says, hear this, you elders, give ear, all inhabitants of the land. Has such a thing happened in your days or in the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children to another generation. What the cutting locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. And what the hopping locust left, the destroying locust has eaten. Put on sackcloth and lament, O priest. Wail, O ministers of the altar. Go in, pass the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God. Because grain offering and drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God. And cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is near. And as destruction from the Almighty, it comes. Here we have Joel talking about that locust invasion. That, in that case, harms everything. But here the locusts are not allowed to harm the green grass or the plants or the trees. Joel continues in chapter 2. Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness there is spread upon the mountains a great and powerful people. Their like has never been seen before, nor will it be again after them through the years of all generations. The Lord utters his voice before his army, for his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful. For the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it? Joel is known for his great locust prophecy, but also for what we do when we see these things happening. We blow the trumpet in Zion. We sound the alarm on the holy mountain. We call, a solemn assembly. We gather together the people to pray to God. He is the one who carries us. We see this as we look at the eighth plague in Exodus chapter 10, where the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. The eighth plague in Egypt is the plague of locusts, and there is so much going on, so much devastation. But at the end, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go. Dr. Bright in his commentary says, in Joel, the locusts are a frightening phenomenon of nature to portray the terror of God's coming judgment. Here in Revelation 9, they portray the hordes of demons from hell which fall upon the human race. These demons from the abyss afflict only those of the human race who do not belong to God, who have not been sealed as his own. See chapter 7, 1 through 8. In the same way that the children of Israel were protected from the plagues that hit the Egyptians in chapters 8, 9, and 10 of Exodus. So now in this scene, John hears the word that these locust-like scorpions are not to touch God's own people. God permits this to happen in order to move people to repentance, chapter 9, verse 21. Consequently, Satan and his demons cannot kill, but only injure. This is the same way as in the case of Job in chapter 1 and 2 of that book. It is God who permits these demons to strike, in this case, those who lack God's name. The demons and their king can go so far and no farther, for it is God's will that no sinner should die, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Ezekiel 18:23, 1 Timothy 2:4, and 2 Peter 3:9. The Reformation Heritage commentary says, from chapter 7, we have seen that the people thus protected from demonic torment are the 144,000 who bear the name of the Father and of the Lamb. Just as the Israelites were protected from the plagues of Egypt in the land of Goshen, Exodus 8:22, so the followers of the Lamb are preserved from demonic torment in the latter days. What good is it to be in the Lord? Well, in this case, all the bad things happen to those who are not in the Lord. Those who are in the Lord have the protection, just like the Israelites did in the plagues. Now, for those who are tormented for the 5 months, in those days people will seek death and will not find it, verse 6 says. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. Dr. Brighton says, these demon-like creatures here in Revelation 9 will be ferocious and savage in their attack, though they will not physically tear asunder their victims. However, the ferociousness of their attack in the mental and spiritual dimensions, which could affect one's physical health as well, will be as if the victim were being torn apart, but not fatally so. The idea of being torn apart on the inside, those things that cause you to feel like your heart has been wrenched out from your chest. Although it's still physically there, it's still physically beating, it feels like it's not there anymore. That's what these locusts are supposed to do, according to Dr. Brighton. He focuses on Job chapter 3, verses 20 to 26. Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter in soul, who long for death, but it comes not? And dig for it more than for hidden treasures, who rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? For my sighing comes instead of my bread, and my groanings are poured out like water. For the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. This is Job's, not quite opening words, because they're 20 verses in, but Job is lamenting his birth. He is lamenting his own existence. This is the mental and spiritual torment that these locusts in the fifth trumpet will bring about. This idea of, as we could look at it even today, as the rampancy of depression, especially clinical depression, or even, you know, could possibly say even bipolar as well. But we have this coming upon us, that it is not necessarily a physical, it can manifest itself physically, but ultimately it is a spiritual and a mental attack that these scorpion-like locusts bring. What happens with them? Again, they torment the people for 5 months. They are not allowed to kill them. So everybody survives. But John goes on next week to talk about the description of them and who it is that is truly ruling over them. And we'll get to that next week. But until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for coming here, digging deeper into the book of Revelation with me. And I pray that it strengthens you as you wrestle with the theologies around you. Amen.